You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Hi everyone, I'm Mike Mercurio and I'm a principal with the law firm Offutt Kerman. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing my friend and colleague, Donna Cobozal. She's CEO of Walter Electric. Donna, thanks for joining me today.
Sure, thank you.
So I'm going to start out really easy. Where'd you grow up and what were some of your early interests?
I grew up in Silver Spring, but I spent a lot of my summers and weekends in West Virginia and loved riding horses, and that was my interest back when I was younger.
So you're an entrepreneur. Where do you think you got the entrepreneurial bug? Did you have a role model when you were younger, or did you have that entrepreneurial experience? What do you attribute your entrepreneurial spirit to?
I really feel a lot of it, my grandfather, Walter Kolb, obviously started his own company back in 1925, and he was a great entrepreneur, had an eighth grade education, and just built this business. And then my father was a great mentor to me as an entrepreneur as we continued to grow that business, and he opened many branch offices to just keep it growing. So I feel like he really, it's in my blood.
It's in your blood, okay.
I think it is. It's just loving that challenge.
So your grandfather started a family business and continued by your father, and I know that you worked there. And you worked there for a lot of years. Many years. 20 years, I think.
30
years, wow. Okay, 30 years. So let me ask you, if you choose to comment, why leave a 90-year-old successful business, family business, started by your grandfather, where you had been there for 30 years? What were the events that led up to the founding of Walter?
Well, it was obviously a very personal decision. I just felt that the growth, the direction that I wanted to go, I enjoyed the challenge, I enjoyed growth. I wasn't comfortable with things as they were. And when you get into a family business, and you know, nothing against how anybody sees their life or what they want, I wanted something different. And so I decided in January of 2015 to open Walter Electric.
Okay, so Walter's been in now a couple years, and you started Walter with your husband, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so a new family business.
Yes.
I imagine, this probably goes without saying, very painful to leave the family business and, you know, gut-wrenching to a degree.
It was. It was a three-year decision, a very, 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 obviously the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. It was a painful decision to do. And yet, however, I did feel for my future and for what I was looking for, it was something that I just needed to do.
So moving to Walter. So Walter Electric is named after your grandfather, right? So
yes.
You're honoring your earliest entrepreneurial experience. So why, if it's not obvious, why'd you name your company Walter Electric?
Yeah, I think it is pretty obvious. He was a great entrepreneur. He did so much in his time. Back in the day, remember, they didn't really have electric everywhere. So he was converting a lot of homes from gas, gas, you know, lamppost, and to electric for the first time that people had in their homes. So it's a great story, and someone that I only knew as a child because
You didn't work with him?
No,
okay.
Because he had a stroke. So by the time I came in, I didn't really work with him, but learning the story and just seeing what he did and how he kept things organized and how he was able to actually build the business was just, you know, very impressive, and I wanted to honor him.
Yeah, well, that's a great honor. He sounds like a guy that was very progressive for his time. And I think if you said he had an eighth grade education.
Yes.
So he obviously was very mechanical and understood what was a new technology there, electricity.
Right.
That's really great.
And the business aspect, which is, you know, doesn't seem like it would match the eighth grade education, but he had a business sense.
Yeah.
And was very organized as far as files and keeping, you know, receipts and backup and just...
Yeah.
The business side of it as well.
Clearly, because I mean, he was the built the foundation for a multi-generation family business.
Yes.
As you know, many of them don't continue on. So very successful legacy. So that's a great name, Walter Electric. So you have a tagline I saw. So it's wired to work.
Correct.
How'd you pick that?
Well, actually, I didn't, okay. So I cannot take the credit for that. We worked with a company who helped us with the name, okay. The logo, and the tagline, and they nailed it. I just love the Wired to Work. It goes with so many things, not just our job, but we're wired to work for our employees. We're wired to work for our customers. We're wired to work for business partners. It just seems to fit everything.
I think it's great. I think it's great. So Walter Electric is obviously an electrical contractor, and you do commercial and residential electric, correct?
Yes.
What makes you different than other electrical contractors out there? There's many of them, right?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that having different divisions where we do residential work, we do property management work for property management companies, and then also, like you say, the commercial tenant build out. So they're different electricians. They're not interchangeable. So, but I think having different divisions really overall helps the company. And I think we truly care. I know a lot of people say that, but we really truly care about our employees, and we try to find ways to help them grow, whether it's classes they want to take or what their interests are. We try to really cue into them so that we can see what they're wired for.
Right.
So we can be wired in sync together.
So you're creating your culture. What do you hope the culture at Walter will ultimately become?
I really want it to become an employee-friendly company where we do the right thing. I'm a big believer if you do the right things come back to you. And if you treat your employees right and your customers right, things work. I mean, it's tough. There's ups and downs with every business, but you know, if you just keep steady and do the right thing, it should fall into place.
So customers, right? We all have customers, and I know you have lots of different customers. Tell us a little bit about your customer types. What do you do for your customers?
Sure. We have a property management customers where we have built relationships for many, 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 many years. And we know how important it is to try to understand what their needs are. And we have several business development people who actually keep in touch, as well as Gus and myself, keep in touch with our clients. The energy rebates with BGE and Pepco is a big thing because it can help them save money and get money back in their pockets. Mm-hmm. So that's the big savings to help them. The tenant build outs for commercial, whether they're redoing the entire apartment complex or a, you know, retail or commercial building, the tenant build outs to help them with new tenants coming in. And then our homeowners, our COD homeowners, where we do a lot of advertising to try to get their business and help them with whatever it is. We don't do any new construction from the ground up, but anything else we can help them with, whether it's recessed lighting or ceiling fans or whatever someone might need in their home.
Yeah, and I see your trucks all over the road. I know your folks are out there and full service to the homeowner, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I know when your electricity goes out, it's very dire to us non-electrical folks. So it's good that you're full service to the homeowners. So you obviously have a lot of experience in a family business, and there's pluses, right? And there's minuses, and now you have a new family business, and you're working with your husband, Gus, right?
Yes.
What's it like to work with your husband? What are you trying to do to establish that culture and that business foundation like your grandfather did in a family business?
It's awesome. It's a lot of people say, oh, I could never work with my spouse. But we're in different areas, so Gus is the COO and oversees the service department and makes everything just keep going in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And with me being CEO, we may ride to work together, but during the day, it's odd.
Okay.
We very rarely see each other, so we talk a lot on the way home and the way to work. And we have different areas, which I think is what makes it work. Whereas if we both were overseeing the same type of thing, we'd be in each other's way. So I think we're a good complement to each other.
Okay, so you have your swim lane, so to speak, right?
Yes.
So do you leave work at work, or do you take it home? It's hard because your partner is your partner in life.
We try to leave it at work, but sometimes we have our best conversations when we're away from the day-to-day and we're actually unwinding is where our creative juices flow and we're able to think about different things that we need to do or different ideas. And that comes usually on the weekend when we're relaxing. So it's a good thing.
I mean, it could be more creative. So do you think Will there be future generations in your family business, Walter Electric, or no. to be determined, or
no? None of our children. Okay. Thank goodness. We're very happy that they have chosen not to to come in. They each have their own lives, and it's great. But, you know, we hope Walter continues on for many, many, many years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you, what do you find? You're the leader of and the face, I think, primarily of Walter. I mean, Gus is obviously out there too, but he's more inside, I think, than mm-hmm. you're more outside. What do you find most challenging and rewarding as the face of Walter Electric?
I think most challenging is trying to get what our culture is, or, you know, trying to relay that message, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's in my head, but how does that relate to customers? And the challenge of when things slow down and not freaking out and not really getting over upset, it's like, okay, what is a solution? And then just always trying to think of it as a solution and not a major crisis.
Right.
We can get through it. We've gotten through a lot.
Yeah.
I look back, if I can get through what I went through starting it, I can get through anything.
Well, that's true. And as the leader, you're setting the tone for the business, so you steer the ship straight, right, even through rocky water. So it's important that you're strong that way. So you're obviously a woman, and I don't think this is out of line to say that, you know, the electrical contract industry is mostly male-dominated. Yes. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think.
No, you're correct.
What's it like to be the leader, leading not only probably technicians that are mostly male-dominated, I'm assuming, but also mm-hmm. your competition? What's that like?
It is challenging, and I feel like, I guess, because I've been in the electrical business my entire life, mm-hmm. I've never gone outside of it, so it's also natural. It's not too overwhelming, and we were named one of the top 100 women businesses in, you know, just a few years of being in business. So I feel like there's a lot of room for growth with that, mm-hmm. and we would encourage many women to try to get into not only the office is predominantly women, but to get them in the field as well, because it's a great career for male and female.
Yeah.
So to try to encourage more women to get into the industry, trade of any kind.
Yeah, I agree. I think the trades are a great area of opportunity mm-hmm. for our youth and for many folks. And like we said, electricity is not going away. And it's very much needed by all of us, residential and otherwise. So so you talk about growth. What do you envision your growth? How do you scale your business? Where are you looking to grow into? What are you looking to become?
This year, we're looking to grow. I just applied for WBE. So once we get that accreditation, I would like to grow that business mm-hmm. and delve into that. It's a whole new area for me.
Mm-hmm. Is that doing government work then?
Yeah, city,
on behalf of the
state.
Okay, yes. Local, all of that. Wow. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about niches or other markets, but okay.
Yeah, I'd like to really be the city and state.
Okay.
Not necessarily as much as the big government, but would like to start learning more and more about that. So I plan on doing a little more networking and getting to learn that industry a little bit more.
And you're primarily Baltimore, Maryland based, or what's other geographies?
Yeah, we're Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. So Northern Virginia, Montgomery County, and then Annapolis.
Okay.
I mean, Howard and Anne Arundel and Baltimore as well.
Do you think you'll grow beyond the geography, that footprint, or is that
I'll think
of
about that
there?
in a couple more years. Right now we're focusing in the Washington Baltimore area, but there's always, you know, there's always that thought that there's many other areas that
you have to
we could grow
right?
into. Yes.
So I imagine this to be the case. You know, technology is changing everything we touch in the world. Is technology changing your space? How do you stay on top of the changes in your industry to be cutting edge, to be relevant and top of your field?
I believe the biggest area is the lighting, the LED, the energy efficient lighting, and being able to suggest that to clients and explain how it can save them. But like you say, electricity is electricity. Once it comes in the building, we need it to charge our phones, we need it to charge our computers, we need it to live. So the wiring aspect, I know there's a lot of smart homes now, but it's still all controlled by electricity in some way.
Okay. So do you do the smart home work, or would you envision getting into that?
That could be a growth area in the future. We do not at this time, but that could definitely be a growth area.
Yeah, very interesting. It's just, I think that technology and electricity and all those things are items that people don't understand. So you always have customers. I'm certain of that. How would you describe your leadership style?
I would say very natural. I feel like I do genuinely care about people, and I want all of our team to care about people. So I may not know or work with every employee on our team, but I want that to go through the team. We have amazing team of leaders and amazing team of electricians, and we couldn't begin to do what we do without every single person. So I care deeply about them and want each of them to care about each other and our customers.
What's the biggest challenge in your business or in the industry? Is it finding talent, like you said, technicians? Is it finding clients? Is it all the above? What's the biggest challenge?
Probably all of the above, but I think that the hardest is the technicians, because so many people are pushed to go to college, and not everybody has college material, but I feel our world has pushed towards that way.
Yeah.
And yet people can make an amazing living.
Yeah, you referenced earlier that, you know, you're willing to pay for advancement and things of that nature. What other benefits and things like that do you use to attract good people?
Yeah, we have a good vacation policy. We have a 401k matching program.
Yeah, wow.
And we've only been in business a few years, but again, we want our employees to feel part of the team, and so we have a matching program already with a 401k. Vacation, like I say, sick. Well, that's the new, the sick law.
And so just, they give training. They can get advanced training. Will Walter pay for advancement in training or certifications or things of that nature?
Yeah, we pay for if they have certain classes they want to take, project management, estimating, even the office, whatever they're interested in. And then some of our techs who go to school, we will help pay the schooling up front for them, because a lot of people don't have the money. And then based on what their grade is, then we will reimburse or work with them on that.
Well, that's great. Sounds like a great place to work. Donna, you've been in business a long time, 30 years as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure you've learned some things along the way that you wish you would have known when you started. What piece of advice would you give to somebody that wants to start a business, wants to be an entrepreneur, a woman or otherwise?
Well, I think that it's really, really important to get a business plan together. Yeah. Go back and really plan everything out for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Even though you're in the moment, you just want to get started, you need to really stop and get the plan for 3 years. And then I use Small Business Administration. It's like, even though I'd been in business all those years, I think it's important to learn or to know what's on the outside. Who can mentor you? Who can give you suggestions that you don't know?
Yeah.
And I, from the beginning, learned a previous company from the very beginning, you know, filing, answer phones. You need to learn every aspect of the company so that you can then lead people. You've done it. You know it.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say, you know, you've been in business a long time and have had great success, that you're still looking and willing to listen and admit that maybe you don't know everything.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, it makes people vulnerable. But if you're coachable, you can have success.
Yes. I think being coachable is a huge part of it. I love challenges. I love change.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Okay.
But I like change. And I just feel if I don't know other business owners or I don't have other input, I only know what I know. And that isn't enough to succeed.
Very interesting you say that, because it's very hard to be an entrepreneur, but lots of people have had success, and I think that if you are willing to find the information, it's likely out there. And I think as a young person, to be coachable and willing to take advice is in really important aspects in success.
Yes.
That sounds like you would echo that.
Yes, definitely. Have them be open to so many different things in life.
What do you think? I mean, we all have failures, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you learned from that looking back, you said, it might have been a failure, but I really learned something from it. Is there a takeaway from something in your past?
Yeah, I think that back before I started Walter was just the confrontation, like thinking I knew what I needed to be successful. And then as I started to join other groups that have business owners and all that, then I really was more open-minded and I really could see the change starting to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, you just, a lot of it's in your head and I get it out.
I could see that. So what, you're obviously not all work. What do you like to do for fun? What do you and Gus do when you're not working?
I love warm weather.
Okay.
I love warm weather, whether it's Florida, Mexico, Caribbean, and we love boating. So,
okay. So
our
boater.
Release is on the weekend if we're home. Just as soon as you leave the pier, you start to unwind. And it's like that's a big stress reliever for us. And I enjoy golf.
Okay.
I don't golf as often as I'd like to because it takes
right,
so much time.
Of course.
And if it's warm, I'd rather be on the boat than on the golf course. So.
There's nothing like being out on the water, especially in Maryland with the Chesapeake.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.